Hello and welcome to Awareness of the Soul with your host, Vincent Sandy. And today's topic is Meditation 101 Part 2 and 7 Steps to Freedom. I will include that in the talk today. Now, what I want to say is, first of all, you can write down this number, call in toll-free, and have a session with me online. And that will mean that you will actually discuss about particular topics that you want to discuss. You can ask questions. I will answer. If you want to analyze a part of your life, we can analyze it and then see what we can do in order to shift your life from where you are to where you want to be. What is important, and here this is what I explain, is because people call and they expect me to, or some people when they ask questions, even when they write emails, they expect me to be the know-it-all. I'm not the know-it-all. I don't play that role, but I would like to help you according to whatever it is that I have received, whatever it is that I've seen in my life to be effective, and to whatever it is that I've seen in other people's lives to be effective as well. And I can guarantee these techniques are great. They work wonders. Just tune in and don't look for quick fixes in your life. You know, sooner or later, you will have to take charge of yourself. Do it now. You have the tools. And this is my role over here, to give you the tools to take charge of your life, not only on the physical level, because I know that most of you are already probably independent. You know, you can have a job, you can have a family, you see. But taking charge of your life means taking charge of your evolution, means not only at the physical level, but also at the real deep mental level, and then at the soul level, and then at the spiritual level. To take charge of yourself means to become aware of the soul. And to become aware of the soul, you have to be centered in spirit. Once you're centered in spirit, then you're taking charge of yourself. So how do you do that? How do you create order out of chaos? And this is what this radio show is about. So please tune in. And remember, you can call in then. It's 888-815-9756. And remember, you can also go to my website, www.joycelestial.com, and sign up for my newsletter. I'm preparing something. And I would like to send you tools and techniques regularly, but not too much. It's not going to be one of those insistent email newsletters for Joy Celestial. I just want it to be an authentic kind of community, an authentic kind of network where I'm going to share with you tools and practices that are really working, okay? And then, obviously, I have this radio show, 10 p.m. You're listening to it, so you know it, and thank you for all the people who are listening. 10 p.m., Saturday night, every time. So just be here and tune in. I will try also, if you sign up for my newsletter, I will try to let you know the topic in advance. And remember, you can write to me, and there's a contact page on the website, and ask questions that I will eventually answer on this radio show. If you have a topic, if you have particular questions that you want to have answered, if you don't want to call because you're shy or you're afraid to expose yourself, that's fine. Just write there. I will use another name, or I will not use a name at all when I explain whatever it is that you can do to shift your life from that level to another level, okay? And this obviously will be about for other people too. Now, what I want to say, just tune in, look at the videos that are out on my website, and I finally prepared a course that is called How to Attract the Highest Love Possible. This is about finding a soulmate. But more than just finding a soulmate, it is a metaphysical course that will help you to master any area of your life. I will highly advise you to go to my page, Awareness of the Soul, at BBS Radio, which is bbsradio.com/awareness of the soul. Then you scroll down and you get to the link of Soulmate Connection, How to Try the Highest Love Possible. Then click on Learn More, and you will get to a page where I explain. There's a video there, and I hope it will help you, because you can download the whole stuff to envision it, to test it, to see how it is, just for $1. Okay, so more than that, I cannot really do. So just please go there and have a look and see whatever this product has to offer you. And if you feel it's valuable, then connect with me. Okay, so let's move on. Today's topic, 7 Steps to Freedom and Meditation 101 Part 2. Well, yesterday I was meditating. I was thinking about this radio show that I have to do today with you now. So I thought, what it is that I can really say something new. Okay, I want to talk about Meditation 101 Part 2, and because there's a lot to talk about. But I was thinking, and then suddenly something came up to my mind, and then said, okay, this is a good thing. I realized the mind has this trick. In other words, we have to get out of this trick in order to be free from the trap of the mind. Why the mind is a trap? Well, it's not necessarily a trap. The mind is a tool. The mind is a tool that we can use to advance in life, to advance even in the soul. And once the mind has satisfaction, then at that point the mind rests and we can go behind what it is our limitation. Now, this satisfaction that the mind is always looking for is also our trap sometimes, because if we find satisfaction in what does not allow us then to go beyond our limit, what will happen is that we stuck into a pattern. In other words, when we come to our conclusion, we are classifying the life that we have in front of us, and what will happen is that we manage to put a dot on a scale of opposite. In other words, if something happens or if we meet someone, then absolutely we have to come to a conclusion. The mind needs to classify and to say, well, do I like this person? Do I like this or not? Okay? In the night and day, male or female, we meet somebody, you have to classify it. Is it a male or a female? Or if you neglect the sexuality, then it's one way also to move beyond. But maybe it creates lots of problems, or maybe not. I mean, I don't want to say anything, but you have to be careful. You have to be careful. The mind tries to escape a classification on the opposite, but at the same time, it desperately needs it. The mind tries to escape it because it wants to be free. At the same time, it tries to classify it because otherwise it loses control. Now, this is one of the things that actually are blocking us to advance in life. Okay? Because once we have come to a conclusion, that means that this is it for us, and we don't accept anything else more. I mean, once we arrive to a conclusion, we are rarely able to move beyond that conviction. And that is where we get stuck, because in order to be free, you have to embrace all instead of getting stuck in one reality. You cannot use your mind, your body, your idea just to get to be not conforming, like your Uranus kind of symbolic aspect in your life. You cannot use your mind, your body, your speech, trying not to conform. And then at the same time being stuck in another small reality that you created. Okay? It's really important. Why am I saying all this? When you come to a conclusion, the mind gets tired. You need to get to a conclusion. My suggestion is never come to a conclusion. Enjoy the process. And people will say, well, Vincent, okay, I will not come to a conclusion. I will enjoy the process. But that means that I will just keep on talking in my life within myself. No, this is not it. I'm going to explain you why in a moment. These are the 7 steps to freedom that I want to share with you today. So, once you get to a conclusion, you're stuck. If you don't get to a conclusion, the deeper you go into analyzing a process intellectually, the more you will see there is more to learn. The more you will see that there is more to it. In other words, if you don't just classify something as good or bad, or it's wrong or right, and you start to go deeper into whatever it is that you are seeing, you will see that there will be so many infinite more factors coming out. That is the process of discovery. Now, if you come to a conclusion, that will mean that you will stuck that process at some point. If you don't come to a conclusion, you can enjoy the process of unfoldment, of concepts. This is great in itself, of great importance, because your mind will gain greater and greater and greater wisdom and will make you understand all things, all concepts are eventually connected. Now, whatever it is that you want to do in your life, people say, well, at some point, if I want to do something in my life, I have to come to a decision. I have to come to a conclusion. Yes, I agree with you. And let me tell you one thing more. To do that, you need divine guidance. You don't need to start analyzing before you get the divine guidance. In other words, you first have to get the divine guidance, then make a little plan on how to act on it. You need to have enough inspiration, that means connected with the divine, so that you can take energetic action on top of that. And that is really important. Now, why don't I want you to stay stuck in a conclusion? Because most people and most of us, okay, get stuck into a reality that cannot get out of it. In other words, they get stuck with a job, they get stuck with some people, they get stuck into their social environment, when at some point it's time, just time to move on. What is important here is that we have to understand that our need for grounding is not related to the form or the people that we meet, it's not to the events that are around us. Our grounding is definitely something of the self. Our grounding is being grounded in your own true self. Therefore, don't come to a conclusion in life, and the 7 steps to freedom that I'm going to share with you now will allow you to live a life in divine attunement in everything that you do. These 7 steps to freedom are 7 steps that from wherever you are will give you the chance to attune to a higher, to the higher being that is within you, to the higher state of consciousness within you. And what is important to understand too is that it doesn't matter which job it is that you're doing, whatever it is that you're learning, if tomorrow you will change, if you will be sure these 7 steps are here, you will grow and grow and grow. And remember, the main thing, this is why meditation is so important. You have to get to know how to act into your life through meditation, through divine attunement. And for me, meditation is that process that will help you to transcend your limitation, that will bring you beyond the emotional energy to get into a feeling state of the spirit. Okay? So this is a form of meditation. This is meditation. There is technique of meditation that is the process that will take you there, and then there is the state of meditation, which is absolutely when you are there. So for whatever technique you use to do that, it will help you to make that jump. That's great. It will work. Absolutely. So, but meditation is important. You have to communicate with the divine first and then get back guidance and understand what to do. Now, what I would like to say to you, and I already said that in the past episode before I share with you the 7 steps to freedom, that meditation is not contemplating upon something, thinking about something, or just visualizing. Meditation is a process through which you connect with the divine and you go beyond all forms. Therefore, if you're stuck in visualizing something, then you brought your senses into a definite kind of form. And therefore, you cannot transcend it if you get stuck in there. This is really important. Now, what's the use of visualization then? It has a use. The use is to help you attune to a particular aspect of the divine. But then, after that, you have to stop the technique, you have to stop the practice, and have enough time in silence to absorb the benefits of that attunement. Whatever comes, it comes. In other words, you have to, first of all, it's okay to guide your mind towards a certain kind of attunement through a visualization process, through a mantra, whatever, but at some point, or through any technique, but at some point you have to stop that technique and stay in silence so that you can freely attune to the divine. The divine is not restricted by your visualization. In other words, that visualization, that mantra, is a portal that you're using now from this world where you need to have a form, is the form through which you are connecting with something that is formless. And then you unite these two levels. Now, the seven steps to freedom, and these are important because no matter what you're doing in your life, this is what you have to follow. So first of all, ground yourself so to leave space for inspiration. Second step. Inspiration then will guide you and will make you find the drive for third step, energetic action. Energetic action then will have accomplishing energy and then will leave you with the courage to release, this is the fourth step, to release all sense of accomplishment and finally connect unselfishly with others. Then you will be free to meditate and dwell in the union and connectedness to all. This is the fifth step. Then the sixth step is let go of the ego and attachment, and so manifest your higher life. Now, okay, let me explain this a little bit more in detail, but let me repeat them first. In everything that you're doing, in everything that you're learning, in everything that you're living, you have to find something that will ground you. If you find something that will ground you, for example, if you're learning something, grounding yourself means acquiring the real basic upon which you're confident to have that knowledge, or it could be simplifying your life, like finding an easy job or getting the clutter out of your way. So grounding yourself. If you're grounded, that will leave space for yourself and for your mind to go higher, because your mind is not engaged in the worries and anxieties of not being grounded and finding grounding, but it will feel free to find inspiration. Once you have this inspiration, then you build enough energy to take energetic action on that inspiration that will leave enough courage. Once you're confident in the fact that you're taking action upon your inspiration, you feel grounded, then you also have enough courage at some point. And this is really important. You need to be able to release all sense of accomplishments. You need to be able to just cut out at the end of the day and stay in total peace, in total relaxation, in the moment. If you're satisfied with the first three steps, grounding yourself, inspiration, and energetic action, at that point, and these are related to the first three chakras of our system, then at some other point, you get to the heart level, release all sense of accomplishment, and finally connecting unselfishly with others. If you're accomplishing already your dream in your world, whatever it is that you're doing, when you meet somebody in front of you, you can connect with that person because you don't have anything else to accomplish. You know that you're at peace with it. So that's where unselfish connection starts. And when that happens, now we get into the spiritual levels, the finest levels of these steps. Okay, so the first three levels are about you finding space in this world. The fourth level, which is at the heart level, release of sense of accomplishment, is when you start abandoning, being able, enough, having enough awareness, enough joy, enough sense of accomplishment to abandon the lower levels, and then you start to connect to have union and connectedness with everything, because we move on, and once we are really able to connect with everyone, what will happen is that we are feeling as if there is something that connects us all. That is the omnipresent vibration of the universe, present in me, present in you, present in all objects and living things in this world, in this universe. Once you understand that there is this thing, this is the point when you start communicating with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Om vibration, In the yoga tradition, for Christians, it is the Holy Spirit that permeates everything. When you get to that level, above, just above the heart center, when you get to the level, you start communicating with the Holy Spirit. At that point, when you start communicating with the Holy Spirit, which is the own vibration that permeates everything, then, only at that point, you're really able to move on to the sixth step, which relates to the moon chakra, which is the medulla oblongata, at the back of the head. At that point is where you start getting in touch deeper with your ego self, with your small self, and you're really able to release it. In other words, only when you realize that we are made of the same thing, when you're already past the heart center, at that point you're only really able to let go of your ego. You cannot let go of your ego before, simply because you cannot see that there is something that unites us all. You cannot just see and feel that there is the higher self in all of us. Only at that point you can start abandoning your ego. And this is something that happens not overnight. It can for some people, but for most of us, for me and for many people, it's gradual. Before you start abandoning your ego from that point. And when this process is complete, you start manifesting your higher self. So whatever it is that you're living in your life, first you have to find, let me repeat it, these are the seven steps, no matter what happens, seven steps to freedom. No matter what happens, no matter who you meet, no matter what you're doing, this will allow you to be confident in also changing a job. If you want to change, remember the grounding comes from finding the basic things, simple, that will help you to have control upon what you're leaving. So first of all, find something ground that grounds you. And if it is difficult, then you have to simplify your life. Find grounding on just one thing. Having one thing as a reference is enough. One, two, three things is more than enough. Okay? Find grounding one thing, so that you can leave your mind free for inspiration. Inspiration will lead you to energetic action in your life, therefore you will be doing things as a result of your grounding and inspiration. That is the best thing you could do. Then you move on and you start releasing all. Once you're confident about that you're taking action for your life, you come up at peace and you release all sense of accomplishments. You start connecting with people. You start seeing the people in front of you, not just as people who are in the way of what you're doing, but people who are there, and you start noticing who they are, what they are, their character, their personality, what it is that they're going through. This is also known as compassion. After that, again, let me repeat it, you will understand, therefore, that there will be something when you're telling you, isn't there something that connects us all like this? And once you realize that consciousness more and more, you will meditate on it. You will relax and rest all of your being. Then you will discover the factor that is uniting us all, which is the Holy Spirit, the Om vibration. And then at that point, when your consciousness grasps this principle, at that point, you start releasing your ego and all the attachments, and then you leave ground for manifesting your higher self into your being. When you manifest your higher self fully into your being, then you go beyond the seven steps to freedom, and you go to freedom, because God will manifest. So these are the seven steps you need to follow. In whatever it is that you're doing, they all relate to the chakra system, as in the Kriya Yoga tradition, because we use the sixth chakra, which is the chakra of the mind's eye. We use it as two different chakras, because we use the positive polarity, which is the sun, symbolized by the sun, and the negative polarity, which is symbolized by the moon. This is really important in meditation too, because what we need to do is to offer the moon, which is the symbol of the small self, to the reflected being, God reflect, God represented spirit, represented by the sun, reflects its light onto the moon, and this is us. Now what we need to do, instead of getting stuck in the moon, thinking that the moon has its own light, we understand that the moon reflects the light from the sun. Therefore, we are the moon, we offer ourselves back up to the sun center to reunite our own essence, our own true being with God. So this is the symbol. For example, when you see Shiva, when you see Shiva, the figure of Shiva, which is one of the Hindu gods, which is not really, let me say, it is not really a god in itself. It is an aspect of the universe. Okay? Once that happens, you will see that he has, once you see his picture, you will see that he has a little moon on his forehead. This is because he offered the moon to the sun. The moon is at the back of the head, the sun is on the front of the head, and he has this moon in the front, on the forehead. For he has offered the moon to the forehead, where the sun is. And what is beautiful here, that when you meditate, meditation is the union between the inner worlds and the outer worlds as well. When you meditate, you are going through all these processes, all these seven steps symbolically. And that will start right away, because you will start grounding yourself, you will start finding a center at some point in meditation, then you will go up with your mind will start to go up into the higher self, so you will find yourself attuned with higher concepts, with higher ideals, with higher way of seeing existence, that is inspiration. Then at that point, we have energetic action, but energetic action simply means that you start getting lots and lots and lots of divine energy, lots of divine prana. The energetic action that you have here is inaction. What it is that we see in the Bhagavad Gita, an action in inaction. You are totally aware. You're totally aware, never passive in meditation, totally aware and alert. Still at the same time, you're not doing any action that will have karmic effect. Then, at that point, if you relax in the great sense of energy coming, there is a sense of release. From that sense of release, there is connection with a higher, with a more vaster, let's say, a more vast life. And at that point, you're free to let yourself go, to abandon yourself to the universe or to God, and the higher self gets manifested. So in meditation, we go through these processes symbolically. If you're able to understand them, then we bring them into our lives more easily, because we know that whatever it is that we're doing, we're grounding ourselves, we have inspiration, energetic action, thanks to the inspiration, then release of accomplishments, union with everything, then let go of the ego, because we understand that we are all united, and then manifesting a higher self. By doing so, by living these seven steps, we bring into life what it is that we're doing with meditation. And therefore, we attune ourselves in whatever it is that we're doing, and through meditation, to a divine life, which is really important. Now, let's move on. Let's move on to another topic, always, that is obviously part of the same thing. Now, there are, in yoga, and they're really famous, and I advise just to go on a bookstore and buy a book on yoga, and you will see that they will definitely talk about the eight limbs of yoga. Okay? The eight limbs of yoga. This is whatever. First of all, let me advise you, I would like to advise you to buy a book, if it's possible for you to do so. This book is The Spiritual Science of Kriya Yoga by Goswami Kriyananda. I think it's one of the greatest books you could have in the yoga tradition, in Kriya Yoga tradition. It will explain things from a mystical point of view, which is really important. Then, of course, you can take it deeper from there. Okay? So whatever it is that we see in the eight limbs of yoga is also an eight steps to freedom at the same time, but it's a little different. Now we have yama and niyama as the first two steps. The yama and niyama are like the restraint and the observances that we have to use, that we have to observe or that we have to follow, like the moral restraint and the observances that we have to follow to find peace of mind. It is really important to find peace of mind because then it will lead us to the next steps. Now, these eight steps, this yama and niyama are divided, each one into five restraints and then five observances. They are very similar to the Ten Commandments of the Christian tradition. But just let me go through it very quickly. And let's remember also one thing that the calling number, toll-free, is giving a busy signal. Therefore, there is something that is not working properly. And we apologize for that for all those people who are trying to call. Please, if you go to the website, you can see that there's another number. That's the direct line. Go to bbsradio.com and see it there. If you want to call, please try to call through the direct line. And thank you for trying. Now, let's move on with our topic. So we have the yama and niyamas. The yamas are, first of all, abstention from violence, then abstention from falsehood, from stealing, from indulging in too much passion, carnal desires, and accepting unnecessary gifts from people. Let me explain this a little bit more. First of all, I don't want these steps to become the ground for bigotry. Okay, you need to understand that the main purpose of all these yamas and niyamas that I'm sharing with you is to simply make your mind rest.
We got it working. We got it working.
Okay, so basically I've been told that we got also the toll-free number working, so you can call it toll-free if you wish so. Okay, so we don't need to transform this essence, the essence of the yamas and niyamas into bigotry. What we need to understand is that yoga is not a religion. Yoga is a methodology and a way of life. And the only purpose why these yama and niyamas were explored and understood at the beginning is because we needed the mind to be able to be still. In other words, so let's just talk about it for a moment. For example, Ahimsa, which is the first yama, is the yama of nonviolence. And it can be intellectual nonviolence, physical nonviolence, and verbal, or better to say, intellectual, verbal, and physical. Now, the intellectual nonviolence simply means that if you have patterns in your mind that are inharmonious, there are conflict with each other, there is a war going on within yourself. You have to be sure that you take charge of that situation, so that you can rest your mind when you meditate. It's just simply like that, you know what I mean? Then verbal nonviolence means just not using abusive words, insulting statements, angry speech, bad advice. This is taken from the book of Spiritual Science of Kriya Yoga by Goswami Kriyananda. And obviously, you have to understand that the voice has a vibration. Whatever you speak definitely has a vibration. It can be a word of power, depending on your willpower, depending on your attunement. Okay, so you gotta be careful. Physical nonviolence, obviously, is not hurting anyone else. Now, what is important to understand in physical nonviolence is that you have to be able not to destroy anybody else. In other words, if you're starting to destroy somebody, if you're killing somebody, you are neglecting your reality as the divine self. In other words, you're killing yourself. If you do something harmful to any other living, then you are neglecting yourself. Now, in this thing, you need to have common sense. Obviously, if you find yourself in front of a bad animal, they could kill you. At that point, it's common sense to take something next to you and try to reply back, even to kill the animal. This is not something that I just say. The great masters, the great sages of all religions, the great sages say There is a hierarchy in the evolution of mankind, and also in, not just mankind, the evolution of human, of beings, living beings. Therefore, if an animal is, for any karmic reason, is approaching to kill you, and you're aware of that, you should defend yourself, because you got to the point when you're actually giving, when you're actually given the opportunity to evolve your soul to a higher state. You cannot let that opportunity be destroyed by an animal. Okay? And this is not something that simply is like that, and it's not something that I created. Now, being truthful, and that means being not false, I don't want to stop, I don't want to talk too much about this thing because I want to give you some more techniques later on, but being truthful, it simply means staying in tune with truth. Intellectually, just not try to be stuck in the fact that you want to come to a conclusion, but looking not for intellectual satisfaction, but looking for truth intellectually. Then verbally, try to speak the truth as much as you can. Try to adhere your words with the truth. Don't over-exaggerate. Don't underestimate when you speak. Or physically means also accepting and seeing things as they are in yourself and in the world around you. Accept it as they are. Now, obviously, another thing here, you have to use common sense here as well. Why? Because, for example, if your word of truth would put at risk the life of somebody else, then it would be common sense either to shut up as possible, or, in that case, it would be justified if you lie. For example, there was a story of somebody, of a great yogi, very that reached great height of wisdom. And at one point he saw a man running desperate. Said, sorry, just, I'm going there. Don't tell those men that are following me that I'm there. And this guy was a sincere guy, okay? Then he went. Then these people came and asked him, and they were really, really bad people. And they asked this yogi who was meditating, where did he go? Did you see him? And he didn't answer. And they started to hit him. And then he said, yes, I saw him. Okay, where did he go? And he didn't say anything. Then they took a knife and they chopped off his hand. And he didn't say anything still. Then if they started to hit him, they chopped off one of the legs. And then at the end, he pointed in the direction where that man went. Therefore, the man was taken, and those were bad people. And obviously, when that yogi died, he went into the heavens. So this is the story. And the God told him, or one of the greatest archangels of God told him, what is it that you did at that point? You were a great yogi, yes, but you cannot be free. What is it that you did at that point? You didn't understand the situation. I said, well, I had to adhere to truth. He said, well, but by observing this principle, you denied your common sense because you created such a wrong, such a worse damage by adhering to that principle, then now you have to go back and repent for that. So you see, you have to use common sense. Being responsible, for example, in that case, for the death of somebody else, just because you have to adhere to a principle, it would be stupid. That yogi came to a conclusion. You see, that's the trap of the mind. Therefore, don't get to a conclusion too easily. Now, another thing that is very much not understood well is about indulging in passion, celibacy, in other words, carnal desires. What happens here is that you don't have to be a slave. You need to understand how to direct, to control the sexual energy. Because if you think about sex 500 times an hour, when you sit, you will be able to let your mind go. You need to understand how to control that energy. I'm not saying that is wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong to have sex. I'm absolutely not. But what I'm saying is nothing in this life should enslave you. Okay, and then there are the niyamas. Let's move on right away. Then there are the niyamas, and they are a cultivation of good habits, like, for example, keeping your life clean, cleanliness, not just for the body, but also the intellect of the mind, contentment, being able to simplify your life and be happy with what you are, understanding that happiness is not something that comes from other people, from other circumstances, but it comes from the process of being happy. Austerity simply means being able, tolerance, to support, to understand how to live in circumstances that are not so comfortable, being able to adapt, to adjust. Otherwise, remember, you don't have to, otherwise you will not be able to live in under any circumstance. You don't have to take also this austerity to a level that it's out of common sense, like, for example, chopping your head off, chopping your hand off because you want to demonstrate that your mind is stronger than the body, like some yogis do in India. I think that is absolutely not necessary. And if you know, if you didn't need your hands, then God wouldn't have put them there, right? Okay, so if you have it, keep it. At the same time, cultivate tolerance. Tolerance of the mind, tolerance of the speech, tolerance of the body. Tolerance. And then we have regularity in the study of religious books and submission to God. In other words, you have to find studies that will inspire your mind to go higher and abandon yourself. Then after this yamas and niyamas are established, then your mind will be settled down, will be at rest. So therefore, we can move on to the asana. Asana means simply having a posture that is quite, that will allow you to sit still for a prolonged time of meditation. And there are various postures for sitting, and some people think that the asanas are the yogic postures, like the postures of, like for example, the triangle, you know, all the contortions that you might have. I mean, those are great. They will help to still the mind very much. But those are, the aim of those postures is that at some point you must sit down and find your body totally still and your mind still. The purpose is to still the mind and body for meditation. And after that, before you're able to move on to the next step, which is pranayama or breath control. And pranayama, prana means life energy. It doesn't mean breath. But through breathing, we actually control the breath coming in and out. And once you are a master of your body, once your mind can rest, you can master your body into a still position, then that is the moment when you can actually master your energies through pranayama and clean more. From pranayama, then you move on to pratyahara, because once you master your energy, you will be able to direct them inward and then upward toward the mind's eye. From pratyahara, then we develop the state, that kind of concentration that we need for meditation. From dharana, once the concentration is established, then that concentration becomes effortless. And therefore, we go into a state of meditation when this kind of concentration becomes effortless. All the energies are directed to one point. And once we reach the state of meditation, then we get absorbed into whatever it is that we're focusing on, and we get to a state of samadhi. These are the eight limbs of yoga, and these are all steps that we're going to go through naturally into meditation. Now, last time I've taught you a technique, the healing Hong Sao technique is what I want to teach you today. Last time I taught you a technique which is called Hong Sao, and it's on my website, www.jcelestial.com. If you sign up for the free material, you will have instant access to it, or you can download. I talked about it many times on this radio show. Now, I will guide you through this practice, and we will use the Hong Sao meditation technique. I will guide you through it even now. Then we will use the healing. I will guide you right away through the healing Hong Sao meditation technique, which is really easy. And then I will guide you more through the Hong Sao in the spine. Hong Sao in the spine is the advanced version of the Hong Sao technique. It will prepare your prepare you for advanced meditation practices later. And it is much, it's an enhancement. Okay? It's a boost. So therefore, let's move on right away. Let's meditate now for the last, for the whatever remains here on the radio. I will guide you through it. Therefore, sit down with the spine straight and the muscles relaxed, having both of the feet on the floor, sitting, spine straight, shoulders down and away from the ears, shoulder blades almost together, bringing the palms at the junction between the legs and the trunk, facing upward, palms facing upward, and relax. Find the best way possible to tilt your hips gently back so that the spine regains the natural curve. Realign the neck and the spine. At the same time, don't tilt your head back. Keep your chin parallel to the floor. Now close your eyes and simply look up at the distance. Imagine with your eyes closed, look up at a distance, maybe on the top of a mountain. At the same time, focus your awareness at the mind's eye, the point between the eyebrows, as if you were penetrating that point into the infinite. You will notice that the thoughts will tend to disappear as you look up like this. Just know it and let them go, because they will try to have a hold on you, but let them go. From this moment on, start observing the breath coming in and out on its own accord, without you trying to control it, without you try to manipulate it. Let it come in and out as it wants to. Doesn't matter if the inhalation is shorter or longer than the exhalation. Breath is what it is. Just let it be. Just be the observer. Let the breath breathe you. And once you're sure about having the point between the eyebrows, the gaze up, and the awareness centered at the mind's eye, the observation of the breath, while you try to control it or manipulate it, now is the time to add the sounds hong to breathing and saw. Let's breathe out. Hong, saw. And if there is no breath and there are no sounds, then that's okay. Just relax to those moments of freedom, focusing on the mind's eye. Relax more. Practice this technique for some time. Check your body again for tensions in the many times during the practice and relax. Now, if we understand our emotions and ideas as energies or as energy-based, we can help emotional healing by increasing our intake of positive energy. This way we replace an old energetic pattern that doesn't serve us anymore and is creating blocks. The medulla oblongata is the main point through which the energy enters in our system. It is located at the junction of the neck with the skull, the back of the head. The great master Paramahansa Yogananda used to say that this point is the mouth of God. Jesus talked about it. New Testament. And at the time of conception, in the mother's womb, the human body begins to take form starting from this point. But this point is the entrance of the primordial universal energy. We can learn to make use of it consciously in order to fill our body with power and to help our spirit heal. So, first of all, now, breathe in. And breathe out three times. Remain in silence for a moment, absorbing whatever comes from the practice. And Now just think to open the mouth of God by imagining a real mouth opening at that point, or point which is at the junction between the neck and the back of the head. You may visualize a ring of light expanding. As you do this, relax your throat, open your throat, without effort, relaxing, and breathe in. And feel the energy running down your spine. Breathe in and out several times, and feel your body filled. Universal force, always more. As you continue, the energy expands up to your brain, all around you. Now you're in touch with a part of yourself that you're usually not aware of, and be respectful and loving toward who you are. Now, gently, think of the kind of energy you need to attract so that you can feel yourself with it. Could be love, joy, enthusiasm, peace, or any other of the 8 aspects of God. Breathe in and out. Just relax and focus on that energy. Relax. 8 aspects of God are peace, calmness, sound, light, joy, power, love, and wisdom. Relax. Try to attract to yourself. Imagine which one is representing the kind of energy that you want to attract. Try to be clear about what you want to replace with this new positive energy. For example, you might want to replace sadness with joy. If you want to change a negative emotional state, it is good to choose the opposite positive, but most important, to replace the negative, something that inspires you. Because that inspiration is the key to connect in real with that kind of energy. So as you breathe in, you're actually tracking that energy. As you breathe out, you take the negative, go out. It's such an easy thing, such an easy technique. You can use the St. Francis prayer, which is something that I put in my small book, The Golden Jewel. The St. Francis prayer goes like this: Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, I may bring love. Where there is injury, I may bring forgiveness. Where there is discord, I may bring harmony. Where there is doubt, I may bring faith. Where there is error, I may bring truth. Where there is despair, I may bring hope. Where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Where there is darkness, I may bring light. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be comforted as to comfort, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that one receives, it is by forgiving that one is forgiven, it is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. And when I use this prayer for healing, my focus is always on the positive. I focus on love when I think to replace hatred with love. I focus on harmony when I think to replace discord. So on. Now breathe in deeply and then breathe out. Gently, gently let yourself go. We got you to the last part of today's show, which is the more advanced Hong Sao technique, which I've never shared before in this radio show. This is the first time. Meditation 101 Part 2. The technique of the Hong Sao remains essentially the same, but we visualize pure light going up and down the spine. And so, let's start again. Let's check our postures. Let's stay with our spine straight and the muscles relaxed. The soles of the feet are on the floor. shoulder blades together, shoulders down and away from the ears, palms up, and the hands resting at the junction between the legs and the trunk, and relax. Realign the neck with the spine so that you will start feeling energy going up right away, bringing the chin parallel to the floor. Gaze up and focus your attention on the mind's eye, always opening your heart at the same time, but focus your attention on the mind's eye so that that focus there will create a magnet for the energy to go up into higher states of consciousness. And observe your breath coming in and out on its own accord, but you trying to control it. And as you breathe in, think Pong. As you breathe out, think Saw. Pong Saw. Remember, if there is no breath and there are no sounds, that's okay. As you inhale and think Hong, visualize, imagine, or feel pure vital energy moving from the coccyx, tailbone, the base of the spine, up the point between the eyebrows, going through a center. Visualizing a holotube starting from the coccyx, going up to the brain, curving towards the mind's eye. As you breathe in, think Hong, visualize or imagine or feel this pure energy moving from the coccyx to the point between the eyebrows. The same light energy now goes down the spine. As you breathe out, thinking Saw, from the point between the eyebrows to the tailbone, to the coccyx, base chakra. Again, it's breathing, visualize, imagine, or feel this pure energy moving from the coccyx to the point between the eyebrows. And same light of energy goes down the spine, centering yourself from the point between the eyebrows to the coccyx when you exhale and think Saw, Hong Saw. The energy goes up from the coccyx to the point between the eyebrows, Saw. Energy goes down from the point between the eyebrows to the coccyx. Think and feel that you have an energetic spine in correspondence with a physical spine. It goes straight up from the coccyx to the medulla oblongata. Then it passes through the brain and finally ends up at the point between the eyebrows. The energetic spine, also called the astral spine, is the real river of life and enlightenment. This is the road, this is the path we have to follow for enlightenment. This light is a powerful cleanser of all obstructions to the perception of your true divine nature. When the awareness of this light energy is being brought up permanently to the brain, there is enlightenment. And all the energy is being brought up to the point between the eyebrows, spiritual eye, there is a door opening to infinite consciousness, your true origin and nature. This is a gradual and natural process. It is the establishment in the essence of your true own true being. Breathing. Breathe out three times. Relax for a moment. Even for a few minutes after this radio show to observe the benefits of this practice. And then slowly open your eyes, bring the benefits of this meditation into your daily life. Thank you for listening to Awareness of the Soul with Vincent Sandy. I will talk to you next week, Saturday night, 10 Pacific. Thank you so much. Come to my website, www.joycelestial.com. Visit my new website, which is www.soulmatecontact.com, from the new course that I've just released. You can download for $1. Thank you so much for listening. And I will welcome you next month. Write me and give me your feedback. Thank you so much. Bye.